I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Amen. The connection between our two readings this morning is quite clear. The shepherd. In the Bible, the shepherd is used symbolically for both teachers and rulers, people who have influence over the life of others. And the way these teachers and rulers relate to their people shows whether they are true shepherds or thieves and robbers. Like many parts of Scotland, the uplands of Judea are more suited to rearing sheep and goats than to the growing of crops. The shepherd was a familiar figure and was recognized as having a strong, rugged character. He had to make sure that his sheep didn't get lost. He was always alert, always watchful, all the time. Out in the country, there was always danger from wild animals or thieves and robbers. And to protect them, the sheep were often penned at night in a sheepfold, a stone structure with briars placed on top of the wall. There would be one entrance and exit. The shepherd would often sleep across it, barring exit or entrance. In a very real sense, no one could enter except through the shepherd, and anyone trying a different way was not to be trusted. When Jesus describes himself as the gate and the shepherd, we can see that he is one and the same person. The Bible often gives us the picture of Jesus or God as being like shepherd, like the shepherd, and this is no accident. There's even an old Jewish legend telling why Moses was chosen to be a leader of his people. The story goes like this. Moses was in the wilderness caring for the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro, when a young lamb strayed away from the others and got lost. Moses searched for it, and he found it in a deep ravine where the lamb had gone to find water. And when Moses got down to it, he said, "I had no idea that you ran away because you were thirsty. Now you must be very tired." And he took the small lamb onto his shoulders and carried it back to the others and to safety. God saw all of this, and he said to Moses, "Because you have cared for one of the flock belonging to man, you shall lead my flock, Israel." It's just a story, but I'm sure, like me, you immediately see the image of Jesus. This morning, I want to speak about devotion. Devotion to the teachings of Jesus, devotion to the fellowship of the church, and devotion to our prayer lives. Without devotion to these things in our lives as individuals and as a church, we cannot succeed. Without devotion to these God-given things, we will find ourselves adrift. We will become separated from the shepherd of our souls, and we will find ourselves swept away by the false teachings of this world. Without such devotion, we will lose our strength, our hope, and our joy, as well as our spiritual health and strength. We become people who are lifeless, unattractive, and useless. The devil will try and tell you that such devotion is unnecessary, that it's not important. You can get by with just the occasional prayer. You don't need to read your Bible. You don't need to regularly attend church. None of these are all that important in the great scheme of things. This is just so wrong and so untrue. And yet, we can so easily fall into the trap of believing him. The secret of every growing church and the basis for every healthy spiritual life is an overwhelming commitment to hearing the word of God and applying it to your own life. It comes from the dedication to the health and the prosperity, both spiritual and physical, of your fellow believers, and the desire to invoke the presence of God within that community and within your own private prayer life. You'll all have heard the saying, the family that prays together stays together. Unless we study and seek the will of God in the words of God together, unless we share the good times and the bad times together, we will suffer the fate that comes to those who stray from the flock. We will find ourselves away from the shepherd, alone and unprotected. We will lose our sense of direction, our sense of purpose, and ultimately we will lose our faith. This is what has happened in our country and in churches in the rest of Europe and North America. Our society has become secularized, and now we are being ridiculed for our faith. And this has happened over a number of years because people listen to the voice of Satan. Soon individual happiness becomes much more important than the good of others. Pursuing material success becomes much more important than that of the community. It's an insidious process. It happens gradually. It's when golf on a Sunday, or watching a game of football, or taking the children to rugby practice or dancing practice is deemed more important than building a communal relationship with God. It's when going shopping or catching up with the ironing becomes more important than sharing in the Word of God and praying together with your brothers and sisters in faith. We will all have sat before a fire and watched the coals or the logs glowing red with heat and energy. What happens when you remove one of those coals from the rest of the fire? Within a short time, it becomes dull, grey, its heat becomes lukewarm, and then it becomes cold. The rest of the fire continues to burn brightly. So it is with our faith. Separate a person from the Christian community, take them away from the place where the word is proclaimed, the place where prayers are said, and soon the light of their faith becomes dull. You will all have heard someone tell you that they don't need to come to church in order to be a good Christian. That is simply not true. Of course, you can do much good on your own, but you will never, ever be an effective Christian without the regular support of like-minded people. You will not be truly alive. You will not have the abundant life that Jesus speaks of. You must hear the word of the shepherd who calls you by your name. How can you expect to do what is right? How can you hope to minister to others if you do not turn to Christ and hear his voice? If you do not enter the sheepfold with your brothers and your sisters? How can you live a full life if you do not pray together, work together, and love one another with the love of Christ? To experience life as Christ promises us, we must focus our minds on the teachings of Jesus, on creating a worshiping fellowship here and invoking Christ's presence in our community, and by joining together in prayer. The early church lived by these principles, and it prospered. It grew. It grew because the people within its sheep pen committed themselves to one another and to the Lord who brought them together. And don't imagine that just because we're here today that we're okay, that we're doing things right. How many of us pray every day? I wonder how many of us read the scriptures every day. Another one of those expressions that we use regularly is as cool as a cucumber. And we use this to describe someone who remains calm and collected in the heat of life's battles. What you probably don't know is that the expression comes from a scientific fact. A cucumber lying in the sun on a hot day is cooler on the inside than the outside. In fact, the very center of a cucumber can be more than 10 degrees cooler than its outside, and the temperature difference is detectable by touch. Now, this difference in temperature can only exist for as long as the fruit is attached to the vine. Once it's severed, the cucumber will lose its ability to keep its cool. Like the cucumber, we can only keep our cool in this world for as long as we remain attached to our vine. Our vine is, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ. We attach ourselves to him through the fellowship that we have here with other like-minded Christians. The sap which runs through us is the Word of God. And the power to thrive and to grow comes from listening to the Word of God and from prayer. Jesus tells us, I am the vine, you are the branches. They who abide in me will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus also tells us, I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters by me will be saved. And will come and go, and will come in and go out and find pasture. God has prepared a sheepfold for us. He has made it safe, and he has appointed a shepherd to watch over us. To enjoy this haven, we must listen to the voice of our shepherd. We must do this in the company of other believers, and we do this together in community. And if we do this, then he will lead us to safe pastures and clear waters. The opposite is equally true. If we choose not to listen to his voice, if we decide to go off on our own, then danger lies in wait for us. We must commit ourselves to the Lord and to his teachings. We must commit ourselves to one another, and we must pray together, and we must be the church here in our community. Jesus will do the rest because he is our shepherd. He is the bread of life. He is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The one in whom God was pleased. The one in whom God is fully revealed to those with eyes to see and ears to hear. Amen. Thanks be to God.